Just a couple of announcements before we start. Back in the back, you can see it says Watts homework. Please take two sheets. All of our homework will always have two sheets, okay? So don't just take one, take two. And there's a couple for tonight in case you forgot them or you didn't ever get them. But also, there's the homework sheets for next time. So don't leave tonight without taking a couple of those two sheets, okay? And then also around the corner here, right on the very front, well, not the front, the other side of this wall, I have posted your groups for tonight, your discussion groups. So if your name is not on there by chance, you can choose a group because the numbers are pretty even. So go ahead and choose a group if you're not on there, okay? If you just happen to drop in tonight, so it's all good. So I just want to say thank you all for being here today. It's so lovely to have our first time. There's so many people and just as many people as can be here. I love it. If the Lord just doesn't allow it next time, I get it. But I'm just so happy to see all of you here tonight. So thank you for choosing to be a part of our Women Adorning Truth Together study on unmet expectations. This is the first of 18 meetings. That's going to take place over three semesters, Lord willing, and I'm really, really privileged to start us off on this journey tonight. So let's start by praying, okay? Pray with me. Holy God, you are worthy to be praised. We are but dust made in your image, though, and we are not our own, as we just sang. We belong to you. Let us exalt your name together, Lord. Teach us now from your word, and we ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, the book we're studying this session is called Unmet Expectations, as you should know, but the subtitle is also important. The subtitle is Reshaping Our Thinking in Disappointments, Trials, and Delays. I'm certain all of us can say that our thinking needs to be reshaped at times. We've all experienced distressing disappointments and troubling trials and discouraging delays. But these can materialize in a myriad of forms and degrees. Have you ever had a disappointment or a trial or a delay in which you could say that you failed in a biblical response? I've had quite a few in my lifetime, but one hardship in 2007 especially sticks out. And I'll tell you about it. Just briefly, it began with a tonsillectomy of all things. I'll spare you the gory details. You can ask me later if you really want to know more. But I had my tonsils out at age 31. And from there, I had some complications that led to physical pain, other bizarre symptoms, many doctor visits, confusion, a very strange and strict diet, waiting, anxiety, doubt, and more waiting. I did not do well. My focus was on me. I was needy toward people, especially my husband, and my pastor, my friends, and my family didn't quite know what to do with me. My attitude was, when will I get better? Can't these problems hurry up and go away? Can I learn the lesson I'm supposed to learn and then get out of this trial? At first, I tried to pass the time with escapism, like movies and games. But I quickly realized that all of that was unsatisfying. The truth was, I didn't know the character of God through his word like I should have at that time, so I didn't know what to think. I realized that I craved Bible teaching. I had been starved of the word of God to nourish my heart. Actually, I really wanted a trusted woman to teach me. So I reread Stepping Heavenward by Elizabeth Prentice. And I read all the Elizabeth Elliot books that I owned, and I own quite a few. It was the word of God in those books that was piercing my heart where it needed it. Slowly but surely, over time, the Lord graciously led me out of that wilderness I was in. It was not easy, but I would not change that experience for the world because I grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as it says in 2 Peter 3:18. A few years later, I was discipled by Kathy Hayes, And she helped me to cultivate a love for reading the Bible daily and praying. This was another life-changing experience. Nobody had ever taught me how to do that. I've had plenty of disappointments, trials, and delays, and physical and otherwise since then, and I'm sure I'll have more in the future. I'm still growing, so please be patient with me. I am by no means finished growing and learning. But in 2014, we had the blessing of having Lisa Hughes, the author of this book that we're studying, come and teach us at our ladies' retreat on this very subject of unmet expectations. Her teaching from God's Word, the way she laid it out and helped us apply it, it really changed my perspective. And I saw my thinking about trials being reshaped drastically. So when she published her book on the subject in 2022, I just couldn't wait to study this with you all. So here we are. Are you ready? Yay! Well, the preface of this book is not to be missed, and that's why we assigned it to you. She called the preface, First Thoughts, Unmet What? And she gives us a spoiler. She says at the bottom of page 14, thankfully, the key to responding well lies in the Word of God. So why does she say that? Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think it's really important to start off with this. If she gave us a spoiler that says, thankfully, the key to responding well lies in the Word of God, let's see what she means by that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the full knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So all the help we need from God is in his word when we're struggling to submit with God's unfolding plan for our lives and when they don't go according to our expectations. We know that God always intends his glory and our good to come to pass. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Well, the author quotes, or there's two quotes from this section that really caught my notice. On page 15, she said, you may discover, as I did, areas of sinful struggle stemming from unmet expectations. And also in the last paragraph, she said, I can't guarantee it will be easy. Real heart growth rarely is, end quote. But there's the challenge for us. Do we desire heart growth, growing in godliness, and walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? That's hard work. But God gives sufficient grace, as we're about to see. So in chapter 1, which is called If Only and Other Expectations, it was pointed out to us that we all have expectations in life. Could you agree with that? We all have expectations all the time, big and small, right? But assuredly, the problem is not with the expectations themselves. The issue is our response when things don't go our way. And she said, it's my response that's the problem. Okay, so what kind of response is problematic? That's the question, right? Any anxious, fretful, discouraged, fearful, bitter, angry thought, anything that's clearly contrary to Scripture, and of course this list is not exhaustive, these would be the things that are problematic. Carol Beakley said in session 3 of our April Ladies Retreat, she said, anxiousness is caused when you're hanging on to an outcome. That sounds like an unmet expectation, right? Well, Lisa Hughes included a bulleted list of questions beginning on page 21 of our book, and I thought this bore reading. So I'm going to read it for you at the bottom of page 21. She asked these questions to help us just kind of identify whether or not we're having an unmet expectation in what our response is. So she says, why is it so difficult to get on board with God's plan, even if things aren't proceeding the way I thought they would? What is it that hinders me from experiencing joy and peace when circumstances are different than I thought they'd be? How can I give God glory when life turns out differently than I thought it would? How can I respond with joy and trust, even if my longings are never realized? How can I truly have peace and trust when my hopes for something different grow dim? But here's a gleaming ray of hope as a reminder. And I'm quoting the author here, the scriptures give us all we need to respond in a God-honoring way to the unmet expectation in our lives. And of course, again, that's 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, which says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the full knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So in the next section, discovering our heart problem, we come to a foundational truth that needs to be established. On page 22, she says, the bad news is that we all have a heart problem, end quote. So just like a doctor showing a patient the x-rays before he gives the remedy, before the good news of the gospel will make any sense or be applicable, we have to acknowledge and agree that there's bad news. And for us, the bad news started in a garden. And that takes us to the next section of the chapter called Our Discontented Forebearers. Our author named four women in the Bible who didn't respond biblically. They responded with discontentment. And we'll learn more about discontentment in our next lesson. But I wanted to point out that these are real historic events. These are real women. These are real life situations. But in our lesson right now, I want to focus on Eve and her backstory. So turn in your Bible to Genesis 2, Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 15, Genesis 2. I'm going to read to us from the Legacy Standard Bible. Genesis 2, verse 15, I'll start. Then Yahweh God took the man and set him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And Yahweh God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may surely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat from it, for in that day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Then Yahweh God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, Yahweh God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. And he brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And Yahweh God fashioned the rib, which he had taken from the man, into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, this one finally is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because this one was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Let's go on in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it, and you shall not touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Then they heard the sound of Yahweh God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh God in the midst of the trees of the garden. Yahweh God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave to me from the tree, and I ate." Then Yahweh God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So just a comment here. You can see in chapter 3, God's word being questioned in verse 1, added to in verse 3, denied in verse 4, and disobeyed in verse 6. And there were dire consequences for that, right? Let's go on in verse 14. "And Yahweh God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you more than any of the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain and conception. In pain you will bear children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Then Yahweh God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Then Yahweh God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he send forth his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, Yahweh God sent him out of the garden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." You can see also, not only did God curse Adam and Eve and the serpent, but he had such mercy on Adam and Eve, didn't he? Did you notice that? He clothed them with the skin of animals, which means an innocent creature had to die on their behalf. And also, God did not want Adam and Eve to live forever in this state. So he did not allow them to stay in the garden where they had access to that tree of life. And what a mercy that is. What a mercy their banishment was. I don't think we think about that very often. But now let's take a look at chapter 4 of Genesis for Eve's next response. Her response in chapter 4, verse 1. We can see Eve's response to the curse God pronounced in the previous chapter. It says, "Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have gotten a man with the help of Yahweh.'" It's very possible that Eve expected Cain, her firstborn, this seed, to be the fulfillment of the promise God had made. that the woman's seed would deliver the death blow to the serpent, right? If that was her expectation, that was unmet, because Cain didn't kill the serpent. He killed her next child, Abel. That must have been a very devastating trial for Eve. I cannot even imagine that. But after that awful ordeal, let's see Eve's response to God when her third son was born. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Verse 25 says, "Then Adam knew his wife, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, 'God has set for me another seed in place of Abel, for Cain killed him.' And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of Yahweh." So Eve still had hope in God's promise of a seed who would defeat Satan. The name Eve chose for this child, Seth, means appointed or set foundation. And Seth is an ancestor of Christ, and it took about 4,000 years for this promise to be realized, but that was not late by any means, was it? No way. The Lord's timing's always perfect. He had a perfect plan. It was a predetermined plan. And he is holy, he's just, and he's righteous, but he's also merciful. Praise be to God. So, for that bad news that we all need to understand, I want to turn to Romans 5:12. This is really important. So turn to Romans 5:12. We basically just read about this. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." So we can see here that the bad news is that we all sin, and that sin separates us from God, who is perfect in his holiness, perfect in his goodness and his righteousness. He's also perfect in his justice, and when he says that death is the payment for sin, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, he is good and wise in that, right? He is good and wise, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master. Through Jesus Christ means that Jesus gave his life in place of ours to satisfy God's demand for justice, death in payment for sin. Why was Jesus' death so costly? Because he's the precious Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah who would deal the serpent the death blow. Why was his death enough to take care of the sin problem for all those who put their faith in him? Because he is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. And I always say it, repent and believe in the gospel, Mark 1:15. Now if you're still in Romans 5, let's take a peek over here at Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I have the peace of God because I have peace with God. We were once at enmity with God, at war with God, but because of Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross, we can have peace with God. And I may sound like a broken record, but the gospel changes everything. The gospel affects everything. So back to our chapter and the next section called When Longing Becomes a Detriment. Our author mentions if-only desires. Have you ever had an if-only desire? If only I had this circumstance changed, then what? Then I'd be satisfied, right? But actually, we know that our desires change all the time. And what, or actually who, truly satisfies? Ladies, no matter what the world tells you, Jesus Christ is the only one who truly satisfies. And he wants you, and he wants all of you. 2 Corinthians 11:2 through 3 says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear that As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I want to encourage all of you to be steadfast in the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says so that you'll know what to think, how to discern, and how to respond. The Word of God is what renews our minds. Romans 12:2, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This Unmet Expectations book is a supplement to what we need to be just taking in every day. Read your Bible and pray every day. I know that sounds so basic, but some of us, as I said before, have a hard time. We don't even know what to do, how to do it. But I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have a Bible reading plan? Do you have a plan in place? If not, let today be the day that you commit to systematically reading through God's Word. And if you don't have a Bible reading plan, I have a couple suggestions over here. If anyone would like to ask me afterwards, I recommend one in particular, but that's not the only plan. I love it very much. I've been reading this Bible plan for 3 years and it's revolutionized me. But anyway, please don't walk out of here tonight without having a game plan to spend time with the Lord each day. It doesn't have to be an hour. I know everybody is in a different place in their lives, but really we need to be in the Word. And we don't want to stay where we are, right? We want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, that is a command. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. And I want to read verses 17 and 18 for us. It's important. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest you, having been carried away by the error of unprincipled men, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Well, in the last section of our chapter, which is called Drains, Forks, and Constant Refrains, a literal fork was clogging our author's mother's kitchen sink. But what is clogging your drain? Are you beginning to recognize sinful responses to unmet expectations that you have? As Shelby asked us a few weeks ago at our prayer retreat, are you well acquainted with your sin? Or do you have a flippant attitude about your sin? Do you not realize that our sinful responses are a heinous offense to God and he's grieved over it? Do you grieve over your unbiblical responses, or do you just justify them and reason them away? Are you ready to root them out and identify them as sin, and then confess that and turn away from it and put on biblical thinking and biblical responses in its place? Are you ready to be transformed in the area of your thinking so that your words and actions are changed to be more and more Christ-like? The question is, will we humble ourselves and confess that we do have an ongoing heart problem? Listen to this exhortation from Proverbs 15, 31 through 33. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will lodge among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises his soul. But he who listens to reproof acquires a heart of wisdom. The fear of Yahweh is the discipline leading to wisdom, and before glory comes humility. So as we begin our study, please do not be like the scoffer who says, oh, I'm not that bad, or who says, well, Jesus died for my sins, so I'm okay now, right? If you have turned away from your sins and put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, praise God that you've been justified. And you have a righteous standing before God. You'll stand blameless before him on judgment day. Praise God for this. But God's will for you is your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4. Excel still more, sisters. Time to cast off those sins that so easily entangle us and run the race thinking more biblically. I hope you feel the urgency to do this now. And we must all humble ourselves and discipline ourselves to say, Lord, search my heart. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. If you're not willing to beg God to change you, please know that I'm begging him on your behalf, and I have been for a few months. Ask him, Lord, let this be the season that I see real heart change. I want to grow in Christ's likeness through the study of your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need your grace and your strength to persevere and to see that intimate fellowship with you is a priority, and this will change my heart and my thinking. Because what we prioritize says a lot about us. I am ready to ask myself, or am I ready? Do I truly love God, or do I love my expectations and my way? What is my motivation to attend this Bible study? Is it because it's what's expected of me? Because it's the thing to do? Or do I really want to love God more by studying his word and then working hard to accomplish it by his grace and strength? 1 John 1, 8 through 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is so much grace. That is grace upon grace. And you know, we aren't meant to live this Christian life alone. And that's why you're here tonight, right? For Bible study. We're all here to join hands and run this race together. And this leg of the race for the next three semesters is to take a look at our unmet expectations and do the hard work of Bible study together so that iron will sharpen iron and we will all come forth as gold refined through the fire. As we learned in our study of Colossians last year, we as a church are the body of Christ. We are not an organization, but an organism. We are a single body with Christ as our head. And what one body part does affects the other parts of the body, right? So we should all grow together and we should all be concerned about one another. As we grow together, our love for one another grows, not to mention our love for our Savior. And it says in Romans 12:5, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Have you thought about this? How we think about our expectations impacts what we say and do to one another within the body of Christ. So reshaping our thinking will not affect just our relationship with God, although it will, but also with one another. How much time we spend with God or the lack of time we spend affects not just us, but others. Others in the body of Christ and the lost people around us who need to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ and see it lived out in our lives. So let's consider this fact also as we embark on this study together. So what is your goal? I'm sure I've shared with all of you in the past one of my former boss's famous quotes. He would always say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And it's true. What is your aim in doing this Bible study? Perhaps this could be your aim. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. So love God and love others. Our author, Lisa Hughes, assures us that there is grace in the Word of God so that we can grow to respond with obedient faith and growing love for his faithful work in our lives. She wrote this book because there's so much grace and hope that we can meet our goal. We can grow in the grace and knowledge of God because if he commands it, he will give us the grace to do it, right? So, are you thankful for the gospel? Are you thankful for the Word of God? Are you thankful for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to have your life changed? Are you willing to admit where your thinking is wrong or unbiblical? Are you willing to die to self? Are you willing to become more Christ-like, more sanctified, more holy, even though it may be hard work? What would be my motive for these things? Love for Jesus Christ and love for others. And what is the source of real change? God's Word. Yes, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. So I'm sure most of you have noticed a theme around here recently. Pastor Tim's been teaching through John, but just more recently, John 17 and 18, right? Christ's love for his Father and his disciples, his obedience to the Father's will, even to the point of death on a cross. And then Dr. Strock's messages, and especially his book, Love or Die, that's all about loving God and loving others. And then we have True Community, our Sunday school book. It's all about loving God and loving others, right? So where does unmet expectations fit in? Well, we must purpose in our hearts to grow in love for our Savior and for his church, which is our family, right? The family of Christ. This is an exercise to grow in Christ-likeness for God's glory and for the good of all those around you. So my prayer for you all is with Epaphras in Colossians 4:12, that you may stand complete and fully assured in all the will of God. Our desire is always to be growing into a mature Christian and completely convinced of God's will for us, what's clearly described and laid out in his word. Fully assured and content, trusting in his loving, sovereign care. Well, as I close, I just wanted to tell you something interesting about that dark trial I told you about at the beginning. Maybe about a year later, I was looking through some Bible study notes from the year before, and I had written down as my weekly prayer request, affection for Christ. I had been praying for growth in my affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it hit me that in my trial, the Lord was answering that request in his own marvelous way, stripping me of what I didn't need and allowing me to see my Savior more clearly and love him more and more. And he's still answering that prayer request. He hears and he answers according to his will and in his timing. He's worthy to be loved and sought and worshiped. And he's faithful to reshape our thinking where we need it. He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day he returns or calls us to glory. Let's pray. Lord, we want to love you more. We want to be like you. We want to obey you with a joyful heart because we know your character through your word. We want our thoughts and our words and our actions to be shaped by your holy word and by your desires for us. We want to smile at the future, as it says in Proverbs 31, because we know our eternity is secure and our present is being orchestrated wisely and lovingly by you, no matter what our circumstances are. Help us to come to your word with a heart of humility, desiring to be sanctified by the power of your Spirit through the truth. Change us, Lord, we pray, to be more like you. And now bless our discussion time that we may encourage one another with what we have discovered from your word. We pray this in your name, dear Lord. Amen.